So hi, good morning from me as well. So we're the panel that got our pictures taken before we actually earn it, which I'm going to translate as good confidence in the organizers for the quality we're going to provide for the next 30 so minutes. My name is Philippos Zelos. I am the CEO of PwC in Cyprus, the largest professional services organization in Cyprus in our industry. And I'm really excited to be here, joining forces with our esteemed panelists, but also the wider ecosystem, promoting Team Cyprus, or the ecosystem of Cyprus that we have already heard that is critically important in order to make Cyprus work even more. Starting from the President of the Republic last night, for those of you who were there, and the previous panels and speakers, also the Governor just now, I think all of us are realizing that Cyprus is in a good, strong economic position as an economy, demonstrating good resilience. I think the fundamental message is that Cyprus is changing. And in fact, Cyprus has changed for those who still have an outdated perception about Cyprus. And we're here to share our experiences and share our story and talk about the future as well. So let me briefly introduce my esteemed panelists here. We have, if I start from my left as we go, Haris Pangare, Deputy CEO and Chief of Business in Bank of Cyprus. We have Michalis Louis, the CEO of Hellenic Bank, and he's going to talk to us about how the bank is becoming bigger as well. We have Miltos Mihailas, the CEO of Alpha, and he himself will talk about how his bank is getting bigger as well. And these are, you know, banks, big banks in Cyprus, and the panel is concluded by Konstantinos Kostopoulos, who is the Managing Director of Head of Greece and Cyprus Investment Banking in Morgan Stanley. So Konstantinos will be able to offer his perspective from an investor as well, and he's been responsible for some of the consolidation and investments in Cyprus and in our region. So that will augment the conversation that we're going to have. So the way we have thought of bringing to life our experiences and insights from this panel is to cover our thoughts on three broad themes. The one theme is to talk about the great transformation that already has taken place in the banking financial services sector in Cyprus in the last 10, 12 years, and we're going to kick off with that. We'll talk then about how this industry is supporting Vision 2035 that we heard already being mentioned a number of times, and really coming to a conclusion of, you know, why Cyprus, why today, why for the future for all of us. So let's kick off transformation over the last 10, 12 years. Harry, let's start from there.
Okay. First of all, good morning to all. Thank you for the organizers thank you for giving us the opportunity to be here. The banking sector has made significant progress over the last 10 years. The sector overcame significant challenges, showing resilience and strong optimistic outlook. Today, all significant metrics are strong and healthy. The sector as a whole has significantly deleveraged, improving its asset quality. Our non-performing exposure today stands at about around 6% compared to 50% that was the number 10 years ago. Today presents ample liquidity with a loan-to-deposit ratio at around 40% compared with the EU peers at around 80%. At the same time, the core Tier 1 capital for the system is around 25% compared to 15% 7 years ago, and also compared with today's EU average at around 16%. As a result, today's Cyprus banks are now rated as investment grade by all international rating agencies, and I say that because all the above mean that the banks are now in a position to finance foreign direct investments in Cyprus and help fully play their role into the growing economy. At the same time, the banking sector undertook an expensive digitization program in order to be able to compete with international competition and the neobanks. Not only that, but we have a contribution into digitization of the whole economy of Cyprus, offering digital services over and above the traditional banking products. Moreover, we transform the sector in order to be able to service the green transition agenda, being a mechanism of awareness and taking a consultative role towards our clients. And finally, at the same time, we have to say that the sector has progressed. They are now in a position to extend dividends to their shareholders, themselves being a good investment opportunity, but also giving returns for the time being, double-digit returns to the investors. So we are a good investment opportunity also. And I'll keep to that as transformation, Felipe.
Thank you, Harry. And I know it was an important KPI for you guys, and you're very proud of the ability to provide, to give dividends after so many years. So Harris has covered the main part of the theme. So any comments in addition that the rest of the panelists could provide? Mihaly?
Yes, firstly, I want to thank the organizers of the event and, of course, our guests that are honoring us today for being present with us today. Of course, having to talk after two very interesting presentations, the IT and the energy, bankers are usually very boring, so I don't know what else we could say and keep you awake. But I would say that in general, I agree with what Harris has said. The Cyprus banking system has made a significant progress in the last 10 years. It is considered as one of the healthiest banking systems in Europe. I think we have main three challenges, financing the economy, the green economy, investing in technology, facing efficiently the fintechs, and of course catering for the needs of the society as society develops and evolves with all the new banks around us. These are very big challenges. However, we have the means, the capital, and the expertise to deal effectively with all these challenges, and I think the results of the banks so far, they are proving that we are in the right track.
And Mihaly, maybe talk a little bit more about your banking institution. What this Bank of Cyprus today has been the result of a mega merger from many years ago between what used to be Cyprus Popular Bank and Bank of Cyprus, but there is further consolidation in the industry. Can you talk a little bit about your banking institution?
Yes. Okay. Currently, I'm the CEO of Hellenic Bank, but 6 months ago, I used to be the CEO of Eurobank in Cyprus. Hellenic Bank was acquired by Eurobank, and we are at the final stages of concluding an acquisition for 100% of the bank. We are in the process of delisting the Hellenic Bank from the Cyprus Stock Exchange, and hopefully in July we are going to start merging the two banks, creating the biggest bank in the island. Obviously, at the same time, we are dealing with acquisition of the biggest insurance groups in Cyprus, and at the same time, we're also trying to expand abroad. So we have a lot of items in our plate. Consolidating Eurobank into Hellenic Bank, consolidating the acquisition of the CNPA insurance into the existing Hellenic Bank insurance groups, insurance companies, and also seeing to expand to the east. Why east? Because we see that wealth is being created east of the European Union, the Gulf and India, and these are markets in which we have significant interest for us. I need to say at this time that our shareholders, the significant majority of them are North American investors, primarily from the US and Canada, and the remaining are primarily from the European Union. So we do have US capital investing in us, And I guess we would like to see more of the U.S. corporations coming and see and investing in Cyprus.
Thank you. So, Mildo, over to you. You can touch briefly upon the transformation that has taken place in the last 12 years, but also talk to us about your bank and the consolidation that's happening at your level.
Thank you, Felipe. And I will start by saying that whatever Michalis and Haris have just said stands, it's the result of 10 years of hard work that have put our industry, I think, in great shape to manage the new challenges that we have in front of us. For the last 10 years, the banking sector has done a lot of work, has delivered a miracle, and because of those 10 years, I think we are very ready to handle the next 10 years in Cyprus, to turn ourselves into the banks Cyprus needs to serve the foreign direct investment that's coming in the island, to expand our regional presence. We have traditionally been a services industry, a services country, a services exporter. We know how to do that, and the timing is impeccable when it comes to growing in the East, as Michalis said. And lastly, I would add, the timing is also right to strengthen the social bond we have with our clients, consumer and business as well. And this would not have happened if it wasn't for the 10 years of continuous change that has made the banks today strong, based on the numbers that everybody spoke about, but also very, very receptive and flexible to the challenges that we face daily now. In terms of my bank, I'm the CEO of Alpha Bank, and I'm part of the Alpha Bank Group of Greece. Again, major investors include a lot of USA interests and European interests. We have taken also an active part in the consolidation that's happening on the island with the purchase of the biggest part of the business of another bank, and we are also halfway through consolidating that, well, at the start of the process, not halfway, of consolidating that into our own bank, hopefully before the end of the year. Consolidation in the Cyprus market is a positive addition, as it helps everyone ensure that we have a more efficiency in delivering products and services that need a high capital investment in these days. And I think that all consolidation that's happening now will help us meet customer expectations.
Thank you, Mildo. So, Costantino, over to you for your perspective. We've heard about the story of de-risking the banking sector and the very healthy state in which the banking sector in Cyprus currently is, being very liquid, very well capitalized, and we've heard the story of consolidation as well. So this transformation that is taking place and this trend in this industry for Cyprus for the future, from your perspective, how do you see it?
Thank you, Felipe. I echo the points of all my fellow panelists. Obviously, it's clear Cyprus has changed, and this change is evident, and clearly also the banks in the country have followed the trajectory and have returned to healthy profitability, mirroring, in essence, the picture that we have seen in the broader economy. Just to highlight a few points, obviously we've seen a massive decrease on the NPL ratio from a peak of probably around 50% in 2016 to levels of 5 or 6% in 2024. We're very proud as Morgan Stanley that we have played a critical role in advising some of our clients in the country on some of the largest transactions. Banks have rebuilt the balances with overall CET1 ratios higher than 20%. very positive credit expansion despite the higher interest rates, and that's an important point to make. And obviously shareholder returns that have come back to extremely decent levels with mid-20 return on equity and share price growth on Bank of Cyprus and Hellenic Bank of probably more than 2.5 times since 2022, or at least was the case up until 2 days ago. I guess it's pretty much the same now. As a result of all these, we saw a massive vote of confidence from the Greek banks that have seen the next stage of their growth in Cyprus, obviously referring to the two transactions with Eurobank Hellenic and Alpha Astra Bank. And clearly, if we put all these down on a piece of paper, it points in picture a very different picture versus a few years ago. What's the job of institutions like Morgan Stanley? Obviously, being an investment bank, we want to be very close to our clients. All these stability, all these developments have created stable partners in the country with whom we can actually transact. And as they are growing also, we're growing our ambitions in the island. And of course, as an American bank, we know, we're confident, we do have the ability to also direct these capital flows from the U.S. into the country. So very much looking forward to keep doing that.
Thank you, Costantino. So for the second theme, I will start from your side of the table, Milto and Costantino, and come this way. So Vision 2035. This vision was concluded only 3 years ago, pretty much, and it was a bold vision of becoming or transforming, if you like, the economy to the point that we are one of the best countries in the world to live, to work, and to do business in. And the idea was that we should be a regional business and trade hub, and be founded on green, on high-tech, on digital capabilities. Now, when we were discussing that vision 3 years ago, the idea that Cyprus could be a tech hub was close to ridiculous. We heard that, 3 years later, the tech hub part of the economy is now the biggest sector. It has overtaken tourism. So the degree of transformation in the country is remarkable. The agility that we have seen in the tourism product, replacing sources of tourists that were traditional, has been also remarkable. So the banking, the financial services sector clearly is a pillar of the ongoing success of the economy of Cyprus. So how do we see the sector contributing from here forward to the continued success of the economy? How do you see that?
So that's a good question. Look, I fully agree with your points, and I would say that the evolution of the banking and the financial services sector in the island has a crucial role to play in the continuous growth of the economy, as it effectively underpins all the pillars of growth identified actually in the Vision 2035 plan. The banking sector will, of course, need to continue rebuilding the country's loan book, and that's a point I made also earlier, with high-quality investments towards the high-productivity sectors and initiatives identified, namely the digital transformation, green economy, innovation. The RRF deployment is, of course, a good starting point, as it's expected to contribute 3% to the country's GDP. But the country's loan-to-deposit ratio, as mentioned earlier, of close, depending on how you measure it, between 40 to 50%, while the Eurozone average is approaching 100%, actually, leaves significant room for ahead for net credit expansion. And I think that's a key thing that the local banks should be looking to actually, I wouldn't say fix, but see as an opportunity for further growth. But I think in order to unlock one of the most important pillars of Vision 2035, which is Europe, Europe's business and trade hub, so Cyprus as a business and trade hub, the banks will also have to adopt very quickly to an even more dynamic and digitalized economy, what you call an agile economy. And of course, this is a significant overall opportunity, not only serving domestic growth, but an ever-increasing services ecosystem centered around Cyprus's extraversion, openness, and the right approach, I would call, to trade and investment. If I had to make one point, is that we have to remember that the financial sector is not as dependent vis-à-vis other sectors on the size of the local economy, of the institutions, which means that it primarily requires a stable ecosystem around it and the ability to attract talent, and Cyprus has all the right ingredients to do that. So personally, and I think I reflect the views of my institution, I think we're very, very positive for what's coming.
Excellent. Milto, your thoughts?
Yes, thank you. In terms of the bank's role in supporting this, the tech hub and all the needs of Vision 2035, I would start by saying that we need to work harder on streamlining regulatory requirements and simplifying administrative procedures. We have been very good at applying regulatory requirements over the last decade. And now that we have won praise for a lot of those efforts, we need to make sure that they are simplified within our procedures and they make customers' lives easy. Now, the complexity of those processes, especially in terms of servicing new sectors, sectors that are traditionally fast and work the digital themselves, tech hubs are by definition a digital customer, means that we have to catch up in terms of our digital needs, in terms of bringing in artificial intelligence ourselves, making sure that we align with the type of customer we want to have at the end of the day. There's a lot of government initiatives involved, and some of them affect the regulatory needs. In other areas, such as the sandbox that everybody talked about before, I think it's time for the banks to spend a bit more investing in solutions for the client in terms of what we look for the clients in the clients, so that we can provide them with the quality of customer service that is fast and efficient, efficient transaction processing, transparency in the fee structure that we have. All of those, I think, are challenges as we move into meeting the needs of very fast moving world, which is actually in front of us, not behind the way we do things. In terms of that aspect, I agree that the resources are available in terms of the human resources. I think a lot of work has been done. Budgets, bank budgets are all now have a lot of capital placed in the budgets for investments in those areas. And I think that the fact that the tech hub has solidified its position, Cyprus has solidified its position as a tech hub now, I think that's woken up the banks, and I'm sure that we will meet the challenge. In terms of financing and investment, these are new markets, whether it's financing for research and development, which is the harder part, we need venture capitalists there, whether we are financing commercial uses, or that's areas that we still need to understand. But as the tech hub itself, Cyprus, tech hub capability matures, I'm pretty certain that we will understand better the risks and ensure that we build a strong risk and control frameworks that manage those risks and, in essence, take the risk that we know, as our governor said earlier.
Thank you, Milton. So I think that side of the table has covered this this topic quite substantially. Anything to add, Michale?
Just one comment, because the banks, they do have capital and liquidity, we will be fully supporting the transition to the green economy. The onus within the European Union of transition to the green economy falls on the shoulders of the banks, and therefore, for good or for bad, I'm not commenting on that. The push towards green investments, green energy, and be more friendly to the environment will pass and the finance will pass through the banks to our clients, provided all these requirements that are coming from the European Union are being fulfilled. Maybe it's still too bureaucratic, but hopefully we can change that. But this is the reality for the time being. Another comment I want to make is that in one of the previous panels, we heard somebody commenting on the KYC requirements of how complex and how difficult they are. I'm not hopeful on that front. Everybody knows that within the European Union we have AMLA that is coming into effect January 1st, 2026, that will be imposing additional requirements. We will, of course, work with the supervisors and the regulators to see how to address that issue, and hopefully we manage to be more friendly towards our clients.
Thank you, Mihaly.
Agree with Mihaly on the last point, but taking time into consideration, I just want to say two things, especially for the ICT sector and becoming a technology hub. We as Bank established a technology hub to service these technology companies. We have seen that these technology companies doesn't need a lot of finance, I mean, but they need a lot of help in transaction, in doing the transaction. They are cash rich. And now if we are talking in the startup sector, in the new companies, the newly developed companies, there I think that the role of the banks is small. You need angel capital, seed capital, venture capital to help these companies. And then maybe when they decide to become big and invest in themselves, then they need the banks to finance some of their plans. And I leave it here.
Okay, thank you. So in the remaining time that we have, I'll give you the opportunity to share your final thoughts, final messages on whatever we've talked about, but primarily, you know, focus on answering the question to any potential investor looking at Cyprus as to why Cyprus, why now for the future. Mihaly, I'll start with you.
Thank you, Philippe. Instead of answering this question from a theoretical point of view, I will answer it from a practical point of view. Why? Because we are in the final stages of concluding a major investment as a group in Cyprus, a 1.3 billion acquisition of Hellenic Bank. And setting aside the specific transaction-related aspects, which we will not discuss this now, there is an array of factors that contributed towards that decision. First, Cyprus is a member of the European Union and of Eurozone, and therefore every foreign investor knows that there is a framework within which we have political and financial stability. Secondly, is the geographic location of Cyprus. If you see what is happening in our area, Cyprus is a pillar of stability and is benefiting from what is happening in the area. Thirdly, we are on the eastern border of the European Union, and we are at the forefront of where wealth is being created, Middle East and India. At the same time, we have, despite occasionally we're complaining about the government bureaucracy, still we have a government that is functioning and is delivering results whenever it's asked. Our experience as an investor, where we have to mobilize the Cyprus Stock Exchange, the Capital Markets Committee, the Ministry of Finance, lawyers, accountants, we received very good service at reasonable prices. We have a human element in Cyprus of high quality at reasonable cost. And of course, for a foreign investor, an American company that probably wants to establish a regional headquarters in Cyprus, Cyprus is a very cosmopolitan place, a very friendly environment, and of course a very strong ally of the U.S. and Israel. I think all these factors contribute to make Cyprus a very viable and attractive proposition for every American corporation is thinking of setting up regional headquarters or investing real money in Cyprus.
Thank you, Mihaly. Harry?
I agree with Mihaly, and I will only add the geopolitical location of Cyprus that is very important, and U.S. companies can have regional hubs there in order to service both Europe and the Middle East and also Africa. So they is well positioned. And on the other side, in Cyprus, there are diversified sectors, mature sectors that can get investments. And there is a small startup ecosystem that is building up for new business.
Very good. Milton, your final thoughts.
Just to repeat what Mihalis and Harry said, especially on the business like culture that the island has, it has proven this over decades of doing business abroad. Agile, we have shown that we can take decisions and change fast, and that government and business can work together closely to achieve that. And the Tech Hub is one of those great successes. And finally, just to repeat the fact that once you've got the right culture, and then you've got the resources, and we have one of the most educated people in the EU, if not in the world right now, with a lot of Cypriots living and working abroad in New York, in London, everywhere, and a steady supply of skill set to return to the island upon when we need it. We are also now building more and more universities on the island. We are a net exporter of education, so that helps building the resources that these industries need. And I'm pretty sure that with the agility and the business-like attitude of this government, that the education side will grow to deliver the resources the tech hubs of this world need very, very fast as well.
With the right skills. Thank you very much. Thank you. Costantino, your final thoughts.
I couldn't have said it better than my fellow panelists. So if I have to make one point, I would say, in our world, stability and reliability are currently trading at a premium. So I think Cyprus has it all, and that should be the focus going forward. Thank you.
Very good. So my final thoughts for just a minute is the fact that location is also linked with geopolitics and the good relationships that we have with the countries in our region. I think that makes Cyprus as a proposition stronger because of the relationships. In my travels in countries like India, we are actually talking about the fact that it is not good business today, as you expand out of your countries, not to consider Cyprus in your international structuring, because Cyprus works. Actually, Cyprus works for investments out of the US into other parts of the world through Cyprus. And the idea that Cyprus indeed is not a market, as a market is not very exciting, it's very small. We are part of an EU, so we're a gateway. That idea that whether you see Cyprus as an extension of the Greek market or the EU market or a gateway of corridors, economic corridors in our region, Cyprus makes sense and Cyprus works. And Cyprus has been changing as an ecosystem to actually facilitate investments. So with that, I want to thank my esteemed panelists for bringing this to life, and I wish you a valuable rest of the day. Okay. Ακόμη μια. Άρα πήγαμε πολύ καλά.